Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, hour two. Live in LA, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Joy Taylor's moving this week. I'm moving Monday. Hey, we're still showing up for work. We hired movers.
If you have a big full-time job and you can afford it, it's nicer to hire movers than ask your friends to do it.
Yeah, in your 20s, ask your friends.
Oh, yeah, I would just throw all my stuff in garbage bags. I wouldn't even get boxes.
Oh, I've done that. That's how you do it.
So much easier and cheaper.
So this game we play, it's called the high-low game. I take first-round quarterbacks who are perceived to be going, and I give them a high end. If things go well, here's who they are at their best. And if things don't go well, here's who they are at their worst. Now, we all know, this is factual, that where you land matters. That's not disputable. Josh Allen would not be this good if he had a crappy coaching staff. But Sean McDermott's great. Brian Daboll's a great OC. They got him Stephon Diggs. You know, it matters. We all know that. That is not up for dispute. So I'm considering a lot of different things here, where they're drafted, everything. Stylistically, it may not always – I can always – you know, you can't find the perfect fit, right? But here we go. Let's play the high-low game. Let's start with Trevor Lawrence high-low game. The high – for Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson, is Troy Aikman. Looks the part, arm, accurate. Nobody disputes the talent. Day one, walks in, and you're like, that's what a franchise quarterback looks like. Bumpy for the first couple years until he's surrounded with legitimate talent. But in about year three, you're like, we got ourselves a Hall of Fame talent. The low end, Andrew Luck. Size, mobility, called an all-time talent, but the franchise holds him back. He gets beat up with a bad O-line for a couple of years, and you're like, you know what? You don't blame him. He doesn't take the hit, but he could just never get maybe the GM, the line, the support right. High-end, low-end, Trevor Lawrence is Troy Aikman's career or Andrew Luck at worst. That's pretty good. Zach Wilson, BYU. All right. The high end is Matt Stafford. Lively arm. Nobody disputes his talent. People talk about his talent. 10 years in the league. But he can't save a bad franchise. You know, he's got a good YouTube. You look up YouTube, he's got all sorts of plays. And he's slick. Got his own kind of style. But he can't save like the Jets at number two. Low end's Baker Mayfield. Fun to watch. Ceiling's a little lower than we thought. Maybe a bit of a reach as a number two draft pick. Certainly watchable. And even when he struggled, fun to watch. Got a flair to him. Zach's got a flair. The high end, though, if he goes to the Jets, feels like he can't overcome their nonsense. How about Justin Fields? Ohio State. The high end to me is Deshaun Watson. Dude is a playmaker. Arm, feet, he's a playmaker. You can win any game with Justin Fields. He doesn't have the smoothest delivery. It's not the prettiest football. But high school star, college star, and you're not surprised. If the franchise is bad, he can carry him to the playoffs. Teammates love him. Total difference maker at quarterback. The low end is Sam Darnold. Super talented, inconsistent. Sometimes you're like, God, I love him. And then the next series, you're like, man, he's missing wide open receivers. And you think to yourself, that's crazy. But I watched Justin Fields this year against Clemson. I was like, whoa. And then I watched them against Northwestern. I was like, oh. Yeah. I didn't know week to week quite what I was getting. But the high side and the low side, you're talking about a dynamic athlete. Trey Lance, North Dakota State. I think high, low. High is Josh Allen. Total wow factor physically. Like, whoa. a small school. So you're questioning, is he just better than all these average players? A bit of a project. You're not going to have him walk into this league and light everybody up. Could become very dependent on where he lands. May struggle a little early. But in year three, if he's got the right people, you're going to say to yourself, why didn't we like him more? Why wasn't he the number one pick? Big upside. The low side is Blake Bortles. He kind of looks the part. And there's some athletic ability here. He wins some games. But you're like, he kind of plateaus. And you just kept waiting for Blake to get to the next level. And he just never got to the next level. But there's something there. They're athletically, you're not going to dispute that. Blake could move around and make plays, so could Josh. And then Mac Jones, Alabama. The high side is Kirk Cousins. Delivers the ball, not real athletic, does not look like the future of the quarterback position. But coachable, surround him with premier players, he can get him the football. You don't feel like in the big games against the best quarterbacks, you kind of feel like you have the second best guy at that position. Low side is Matt Barkley, USC. Big school, great teammates, really well liked. Pretty low ceiling. Can't do anything with his feet. Strictly a pocket guy. Overdrafted. Stays in the league forever because coachable, good in the film room, nice guy. But you just kind of feel like, yeah, it's the talent around him that kind of did a lot of the work. That's my high-low game. We're 50 days, by the way, until the draft. I've missed big time on that, and then I've hit big time on that. That is, I have either been Elon Musk or clown show on that segment, and that's why we do it. Michael Vick is joining us, four-time Pro Bowler, 13 years. My high-low, did you watch my high-low game there, Michael? Did you see that?
You know, I watched it. I like it. Okay. I think it's fairly accurate to some degree. You know, we just have to see.
By the way,
that's why you do the segment.
So it's funny. I did Lamar Jackson a couple years ago. You were the high side, and I forget the low side. Who was the Lamar Jackson low side? The high side was Michael, electric, win games, get to the playoffs, going to be MVP chatter. And I forget the low side.
Hey, Colin, as long as I'm on the high side, I'm all good.
You were not the low side. I'll tell you that right now.
Thank God.
There we go.
Thank God.
So you signed a 10-year, $130 million deal. This is amazing, Mike. That's a lot of lettuce. That was a while back. 10 years, $130 million. When you signed it, did you feel pressure the following camp you went to?
Absolutely. I felt pressure the next game because I signed that deal late in the season. We was on our way to the playoffs, and the season was going great. So I was rewarded that contract during the season. But, you know, the following three games remaining, I felt the pressure. You know, throughout the playoffs, I felt the pressure. And then going into next season, you know, it was like, you know, we got to make the playoffs regardless of what. And that the year before, we went to the NFC Championship game, and it was so easy that I just knew we would get back. So, you know, as I played through the contract, it became more and more difficult to attain that same level of play. You know, the guys around me, myself. It was just a lot of challenges, man. So, you know, I said it early this morning on First Things First, the more money, more problems. And, you know, when you get all that money, you got to produce regardless of what.
How does it play in the locker room when you have that kind of money? Is there ever a jealousy or anything like that?
I never had to experience that, but sometimes you have guys who come in and it's very indirect. You can feel it. You're closer to certain guys than you are others, and you have to naturally get a feel of the guys who are coming and going and who you want to align yourself with. But yes, that jealousy comes. The most important thing is, you know, and I say this candidly, is to kind of just share the wealth, man. You know, do things for your teammates, do things for your offensive linemen. You know, take care of the guys in the locker room as if you would take care of yourself. And I think that goes a long way. So that's how you keep that on even playing.
You know, it's funny. Everybody now talks about, well, if you pay the quarterback a lot, he doesn't get any good weapons. And I can't remember when you signed that big contract, was anybody did Atlanta have to let go of anybody or not sign anybody?
Well, there were years where it became difficult. I had to restructure the contract because it was so large of a contract, an amount that I was getting paid. It wasn't any money left to sign anybody over the next 2 years, especially star players. I really needed a receiver. We just couldn't afford it. And those are the things you have to be careful with when signing these type of contracts. And I think all these guys, you know, as they go through the process, they need to make sure that, you know, they leave some room for help. And if you don't get that help, then you'll be the guy responsible for making sure that that contract, you know, is you know, comes to life, you know, in terms of your production. And if you don't, then you're going to be heavily scrutinized. So most importantly, understand that you got to spread the wealth somehow, some way, and you got to have weapons around you in order to be successful. A lot of guys fall short of that.
You know, it's interesting. Hunter Henry's on the market. Emmanuel Sanders on the market. Kenny Golladay's on the market. These are, I mean, Kenny Golladay's a great player.
Good players.
I mean, he's a great player. And I'm thinking to myself, poor Aaron Rodgers is watching Tom Brady with all these guys. He's probably thinking, can I get Kenny Golladay? Can you give me anything? Do you think Aaron Rodgers would go to the front office and just say, can you get me a guy?
I think he should. And I think he would right as of right now, because he definitely needs a compliment to Devontae Adams. I've seen a lot of drops this year, and it showed up at inopportune times for this football team.
Yep.
And I know Aaron Rodgers can go back and watch the film and know games where, you know, it probably made a difference or it probably didn't. But those are the things that you don't want to come into a game worrying about. If you find a guy wide open, you hit him and he dropped the ball, you know, those opportunities don't come around. So I think, you know, it's very important that the Green Bay Packers go out and get somebody to compliment Devontae Adams and get Aaron Jones signed ASAP.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that free agency, you know, a guy can play in the NFL in free agency, and we're going to start seeing guys move around teams. Go back to your career. Sometimes, though, a guy comes in and he just doesn't fit the culture. Like New England's got a very rigid culture. Adalius Thomas came in from Baltimore. He didn't like it. And that's okay. New England's not for everybody. Yeah. If you ran a team, would you be a big fan of free agency or stick to the draft mostly?
Free agency, I would pick and choose my spots. And, you know, it would be a lot of variables that I would pay attention to in terms of bringing a guy in. You know, age, contract. You know, a lot of different things that, you know, will play a factor in terms of our team moving forward and being able to be competitive in that season. I'm not thinking down the road. I'm thinking that season in particular. So, you know, free agency, I probably would be real cautious in terms of the draft, very aggressive, because you get young, hungry players who want to learn the game, who want to understand, who want to be a part of a winning culture. And I think you take that and then you incorporate that into what you have, and you build a team through the draft. So I think some of the best teams have been built through the draft and not through free agency. You use free agency just to plug in key pieces and kind of bring everything together. So you don't hang your head on free agency, because most of the time you're just getting one good football player.
Yeah. So I know I like Sam Darnold more than everybody, but
You do.
I do. A lot. Okay. But here's my defense of him. Most players don't get everything, but he never got anything, like O-line, receiver. And my thing, like Andrew Luck, and he's not Andrew Luck. Andrew didn't get anything. Like, I do believe, just give him a coach and an O-line, and in 2 years, if he doesn't work, I mean, what your take on Darnold, who regressed badly last year?
Yeah, Colin, we've had conversations, me and you, before about Sam Darnold, and I always hang my head on this. Look, I'm biased when it comes to quarterbacks for so many different reasons. And when I think of Sam Darnold, I think of Adam Gase and, you know, what he's had to endure over the last 2 years. And I really think that it's important that, you know, moving forward, these teams with these young quarterbacks, give them at least 4 years, you know, because you learn a new system, you know, first and foremost, your rookie season. I know guys set the bar high years ago. But everybody's not the same. Guys come into different circumstances, different personnel, different, you know, talent around them, and you got to build. So I think the onus is more so on the general manager, not on the player, providing that player with you know, the right people around them and then giving them good service, you know, in terms of, you know, coaching and the playbook, you know. So it's a lot of things that has to happen. I'm a fan of Sam Darnold. I just don't think he's gotten his just due because of the lack of talent around him.
What was the first, when you got that big contract, if I could ask a nosy question, what was the first thing you bought?
I bought some big diamond earrings, Colin. I'm talking about. You go watch the 2004 New Orleans Saints Atlanta Falcons on the road, you'll see the biggest earrings a player has ever had on the sideline in the National Football League. And I'm not going to say I'm too proud of that because it cost me a lot. But yeah, I was bling bling.
It cost you a lot? Like
100 grand a lot.
Oh boy. Per earring?
Yeah.
For both?
For the pair. Okay. For the pair. Now, I was very conservative, but I felt like I had to, you know, you feel like you get money, you got to do something, especially when you're young. And I just stepped out there and just did something different.
I got to be honest
cool
with you.
Cool for the culture, I not did. For my pocket.
I got to be honest. I thought that's not bad at all. That sounds great. I thought you were going to say,
I was very conservative. I was very
that's
conservative.
That's not $100,000. When you said $130 million deal, $100,000 for earrings?
That's
not too bad, actually.
That's not that bad.
No, too like, bad, Joy.
I've seen guys buy people.
Well, you might feel like it's bad now because you might be like, eh, I probably spent $100,000 on some real estate
thinking,
or something. Yeah, invested in business
but,
or something. Think,
but
yeah,
let's be honest. But let's be honest. You wore them a lot, and they were cool, right? Like, it's not like they weren't. You wore them for the next year.
They brought you happiness.
They brought you happiness.
Yeah, they brought me happiness. I think I had them on the next game that was probably broadcasted by Fox.
Oh, by the way, so here is the Lamar Jackson quarterback comp from last year. High end was Michael Vick. Dynamic, amazing, gets to the playoffs, doesn't look like anybody else playing the sport. The low end for Lamar was Tim Tebow. Great in college, game doesn't work in the pros. Okay, so he's
you. That's fair.
That's not, I mean.
That's fair.
Yeah,
No. That's fair because, you know, making that comparison, is either going to go this way or that way. You know, it's either going to go, you know, in the direction that Mike Vick went in, that I went in, or the direction that Tim Tebow went in. And I think you hit it on the head.
By the way.
You know, it's so far, so good for Lamar. Let's keep that trajectory going.
By the way, I saw a piece of video a couple of days ago with Michael on it. It is so unbelievable. I want to show it before the end of the show. It was a college, you ran for a touchdown up the left sideline, and Vern Lundquist was the announcer. And he said on the air, oh my gosh. He didn't even, do you remember that run up the sideline? You bounced around. You
probably, there was so many of them, man. You got to recollect with it. Help me out.
I'll show the video later. I don't know which.
All right, show it later. I'm going to tune in to the rest of the show.
All right. Good seeing you, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny when I watched the video of Michael. It was on Twitter a couple days ago. And I'm not joking. I'm going to show the video before the end of the show. It looks like it's being sped up. You just forget. And I'm not joking when I say this. Michael was faster than Lamar. And Lamar's fast. Michael, he's in the pocket and he bounces around. He cuts out left. Vern Lundquist doesn't even know what to say. And Michael goes up the left sideline. You cannot believe how fast he is. It looks like you took the video. I'll show it to people before the end of the show. You'll think you don't believe it's real footage.
Well, when you're that athletic.
It looks faster than any player you've ever seen on any play in the NFL. I am not embellishing, and I'm prone to embellishment. That's how fast it is. He ducks around in the pocket, goes, he hops over a guy, and then it's insane video. All right, so there you go.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, the Big East tournament tips off with a triple header on FS1. Coming up next, Marquette battles Georgetown. Then at 6, Butler faces Xavier, and at 9, catch DePaul as they take on Providence. All the first round action begins next on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
By the way, Jim Harbaugh, the athletic director at Michigan, has said, even though Jim Harbaugh had a bad year at 2-4, it was a pandemic. A lot of people went sideways. He said there's no win quota for Jim Harbaugh. I'd like to say again, Jim Harbaugh took over a Michigan program that was at a low point. It was a mess. And in his many years there, he's gone 10-3, 10-3, 8-5, 10-3, 9-4, and last year. That is not a fire guy record. Okay, 9 wins is Michigan football. And if you take out last year, that's what he averages, 9.5 wins. Bo Schembechler, the legend, averaged 9 wins. And Wisconsin was awful when Bo Schembechler was at Michigan. He had to beat Penn State and Ohio State. Those were the big teams. Now the Michigan coach has to beat Penn State and Ohio State, and now Wisconsin's a top 10-12 program. Okay, every college football program has a win total if you have the right coach, based on your money, based on how much talent there is in the local and regional area. Money, commitment, the ease of academics. To me, if you base it on a 12-game schedule, everybody played a 12-game schedule. Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma are 11-win programs. You know, I'm not going to predict 12 for anybody. Michigan and Texas are 9-win programs, but see themselves as 11-win programs. And that's the problem. Is that Bo Schembechler averaged 9. They didn't average 10 or 11. So if you, and why is that? Because Michigan and Texas, academics are not easy. There's more to do in Austin and Ann Arbor than just football. Not quite as committed. And they also have one of the top teams in the country, a better program. They play every year. So Michigan starts the year knowing they have to play Ohio State, probably a loss. Texas starts the year every year, has to play Oklahoma, probably a loss. Oklahoma's a better program than Texas if they both have a great coach. Ohio State's a better program than Michigan if they both have a great coach. So it's if you go look at right now, what the pandemic is hard for me to make a call on. A lot of teams went sideways. I'm not going to judge people. The pandemic is, it's just like, you know, earnings for companies. The pandemic's a different year. Like state budgets, the pandemic screws it up. Airlines, you're going to look back, it's the world's worst year for an airline. We had a pandemic, right? So I look at his career. He averaged 9 wins. And that's now with Ohio State, always been great. Penn State, always been great. And now Wisconsin's really good. So you got a third team that you often play. So he's fine. You're not going to fire Jim Harbaugh. The criticism that's totally just is, for the life of me, I can't figure out why he keeps butchering the quarterback position. That I don't get. He's a quarterback. He had Andrew Luck. He's just go, look what I did to Andrew Luck. He can't land a quarterback. And when he does, they transfer. That is a just and fair criticism, and I don't get it. Never have. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News. Sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
The Lions decided not to franchise tag wide receiver Kenny Golladay. And two teams have already surfaced as frontrunners for him in 2021.
Yeah.
The Dolphins and the Giants are expected to show serious interest in signing him when free agency begins next week.
The Giants is very interesting. Kenny Golladay is special.
Yeah, so he only played in 5 games in 2020 due to injury, but he had 20 receptions, 338 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
I love it.
But he had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons in 2018 and 2019. So when he is healthy, very highly productive.
Well, what's interesting is Joe Judge, year 2. Dave Gettleman is at year 3. Gettleman needs to win, and a rookie receiver, you just don't quite know. Kenny Golladay, Evan Ingram, Saquon Barkley. Put a little heat on Daniel Jones now. You got to start moving the. And then they could, because I love the Giants' defensive front. So what the Giants are maybe thinking is, let's spend money on Golladay, and that first pick, we can go to the offensive line. Where do the Giants pick? I don't know where the Giants pick.
Yeah. I mean, I like this move for the Giants for those reasons. They pick 11th.
Okay, so 11th. You're going to either get Austin Vera Tucker, the USC guard tackle. You're not going to get Penei Sewell. You're not going to get Rashawn Slater. But you do start getting into the third best offensive lineman. And so I get Galladay a weapon. Now I can go offensive line. And now I can, the rest of the draft, I can really concentrate on the defensive side.
But you just really want to get a big number one receiver.
He's a number one.
A young quarterback. Like, yeah. You still have Daniel Jones on his rookie contract. Spend a little money. Get him a guy like Kenny Galladay who you know is going to be productive and give him an opportunity. I think it's a great fit for the Giants. So the Cowboys put their faith in Dak Prescott, obviously signing him to the next 4 years. Roger Staubach agrees with his former team's decision and is hoping for big things to come for Dak.
They believe that Dak Prescott is their quarterback, and I do too. But I would love to see him stay healthy and have a great year next year. And I'm pulling for Dak. I think he's I really like him. I think he's a fine football player too. So we'll have to see how things go next year.
You know what's funny? Dak is a lot like Roger Staubach. I grew up with Roger Staubach. Unconventional style. Roger Staubach was one of the first running quarterbacks and didn't throw the most beautiful ball, but like a grown-up, unique leadership skills, tough as nails, teammates respected and love him, a little unconventional. Roger Staubach went to Navy. I think he lost a couple years, came in. Roger Staubach is one of the most underrated players in league history. Staubach and Dak's not Aikman. He doesn't play like him. He's not Aikman. Staubach and Dak have a lot of similarities in style. Like, really uniquely respected, uniquely tough, mobile, but not like, you know, not like burners, but just evasive and win close games.
I know everyone's a little concerned about him coming off of this injury, but I'm not. Dak is a very durable player outside of this injury. I mean, he obviously missed 11 games of the season with the injury, but it's the most consecutive starts by any quarterback drafted in the fourth round or later to start a career since the 1970 merger.
By the way, Michael Jordan.
He started every game for the Cowboys since he was drafted in 2016.
Tom Brady missed a season, Michael Jordan, John Stockton. There are injuries.
You're 100% going to get injured in the NFL. Yeah. There's 100% chance of that. But the idea that he's not going to come back from this injury, like it's some devastating career-ending injury. Obviously, the Cowboys don't think so, and they have him in the building every single day. But I'm looking forward to Dak getting back on the field. I think that everyone it's been a little bit out of sight, out of mind, and people are still assuming that the Cowboys offensive line is the same offensive line that he was operating with Zeke in their rookie year, and it's not. They have the 27th ranked offensive line in the league. That should be their absolute priority now that they have Dak Prescott, who should have been their number one priority in getting signed a few years ago, but now it's done. Shore up that offensive line. I know the defense has some patches here and there, but you want to focus on getting Dak Prescott the highest level of success, then that needs to be the unit that you build on heavily this offseason. So, you love Tom Brady.
I do.
And his diet is always a big topic of conversation.
All right.
So, he's much more social media heavy these days, and he posted a video of his morning routine.
Are those chocolate chips?
Included how to make smoothies. No, those are blueberries. TB12 protein, pumpkin seed, bananas, a little squirt of electrolytes, chia seeds, almond butter, and hemp milk.
God, that's a lot.
And he put it in the wrong container so he couldn't mix it. So then he put it into the mixer there. That sounds like it tastes awful, to be honest with you. It sounds like it tastes like health.
Blueberries are hard to screw up.
But this is the important part right here. Everyone is freaking out that he took the ends off of the banana. I don't take the ends off of a banana. I don't usually eat the very bottom of the banana because it's stuck in the banana. But like, who takes the top of the banana?
I've never eaten the end of a banana once.
Why?
Because it's pointy. Do you eat bruises on a banana?
Yes.
Oh, I do not.
Why not?
No, I don't eat.
I want the banana to almost look rotten before I eat it.
Oh, gross.
What are you talking about?
I can't. I don't even.
Oh, like this awful like soup, like the ones that are not ripe. They're terrible. They have no flavor.
I would not. When I eat a steak,
you
I ask,
like grilled
was the cow
too.
Bruised in any part of their body?
Oh my God!
I don't like eating a. I don't want to eat a bruise.
Do you eat a steak with like the bone on it, or do you eat?
I buy a clean New York strip, medium rare, with horseradish, and
no,
I don't.
No fat.
No fat.
The fat is the flavor. You got to get the bone and the fat. The marble is the flavor.
I like skinny cows. I don't do.
Big fat cow. Fat cow and the ends of bananas.
You eat the. Bruise on a banana.
Yes.
Oh, that's.
They're more nutritious the more ripe they are. I don't know. I've never taken the ends off of a banana. I don't eat like I'm not smushing the banana into my face like I eat. But the end of the banana is fine. But now, listen, he's the goat and he takes the tip off the banana. So
you said so the bruise is more.
I mean, I don't intend on eating the bruise, but if I like peel a banana and there's a bruise on it, I'm just gonna eat the banana.
Oh no, I literally just take the banana, pull it apart, and get the bruise put in the garbage.
What's gonna happen to you?
I don't want to find out.
Okay. I mean, I don't make a habit of it, but like if I want the banana and it's the last banana.
Raise your hand if you guys eat the bruise.
Yeah.
Really?
What's wrong with, what does that mean?
Okay. Well, you know, there's different strokes for different
am I weird?
Folks.
I don't know. I'm not going to do it anymore, though, because Tom Brady's the GOAT and he's defying Father Time, so.
All right. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
I hope we're getting that Michael Vick video. Are you guys working on it back there? Sitting around just being entertained by this most popular show in the world. You may want to do some lead work. Help us out here. The greatest piece of video of all time in NFL history. Chris Haynes, some NBA stuff next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports NBA analyst, covered the NBA for over a decade. The Cavs, covered the Warriors, breaks a lot of stories. Chris Haynes is now joining us live from his new digs. All right, let's start with a couple things. Andre Drummond has got talent. He's been in Detroit for a while. He's a good big, and I'm hearing all these Lakers stories. Are they basically doing this because they don't trust Anthony Davis and his health, Chris?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily just because of that. I think if you look at the landscape of the NBA and you look at some of the teams that the Lakers will potentially have to go through to get to their quest to win a championship, you might have to go through Denver and face Nikola Jokic. You might have to see Joel Embiid in the finals. And so they really don't have a guy on the roster that could match up pound for pound with a Jokic or with an Embiid. So I think as an insurance policy, it is a dire emergency for them to go out there and acquire a true legitimate big. Mark Gasol, we thought he was going to fill that role. We thought they had an upgrade at the center spot when they acquired Montrez and Mark Gasol. But that duo together hasn't lived up to what JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard did last year. Montrez has lived up to it, but as a duo, they haven't. So it's necessary that they get a bid.
Listen, I'd be the first to say I thought Brooklyn was a lot of scores in one basketball, and they're just mowing over people. How's Blake Griffin fit in?
That is a good question, Colin. Look, I think he's going to have to play. If he thinks he's going to get a lot of minutes, a lot of extended minutes, they're going to have to come at the center position. Because when Kevin Durant is fully healthy, you know, he is a small forward, but he's playing power forward a lot over there in Brooklyn because you got Kyrie Irving, you got James Harden, Joe Harris, and then Durant. So Blake is going to have to get used to the pounding that it would take to play at that position. Is he up to the task? I don't know. He's never had to do it before. But definitely, if he could go there and thrive and definitely give him an outside threat from that position, he's going to fit. But I just don't know if I necessarily like to fit from a positional standpoint.
I was told about a week ago that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid flew separately on private jets to the All-Star game. They didn't even want to be in a jet together. That's what I was told, and I thought, oh boy, they're playing well. But I still don't buy the chemistry. I think Embiid is clearly separated as the much more consistent dominating player. What do you make of Philadelphia's success, though?
Well, I give a lot of credit to Doc Rivers, putting together a game plan offensively to where their talent will be able to mesh. They're not necessarily jacking up a lot of threes, you know, on that team. If you look, they don't have the personnel for that, really. And so they're kind of playing to their strengths. They're kind of going like old-fashioned 90s-type basketball, you know, what we've been used to seeing in the NBA for much of its existence. But with that being said, I think it's still a lot of people have a lot of question marks as to when it gets to the playoffs. Can you rely on Ben Simmons not having an outside threat? Can you – it's kind of like what teams do to Giannis Antetokounmpo. Will you be able to do that again to Ben Simmons in the playoffs? Have they really matured? Have they improved? And, regular season's all fine and dandy. This is a good start. As of right now, by a hair, they're number one in the Eastern Conference. It's good. But ultimately, you want to see if they kind of turn third base, get past third base in the playoffs. And that's what everybody is looking for.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this. I remember the late Kobe Bryant's first All-Star game. He didn't play particularly well. And you could feel the league kind of wanted him to be the next star. And I kind of felt that was Zion this weekend. They want to make him the next star, and he's not quite ready to go to an All-Star game and take it over. And they're obviously Kobe's an all-time great, and I think Zion could be. How surprised are you at his game and his growth this year?
I'm not that necessarily surprised by his game. I will tell you what I am surprised by. But before I say that, Colin, that's a head-on analogy right there. Kobe Bryant and Zion Williamson, you definitely got that feel like the NBA is trying to force him early on to get his pub. And it worked out for Kobe, so we'll see with Zion. But this is what I'm surprised by, Colin. I knew, obviously, he was a bruiser. We saw it in high school. He's playing against guys not even close to his size. In college, he did the same thing, imposing his will. I didn't think he was going to be this easy in the NBA. I seen him throw Markieff Morris down. I've seen him plow through Tristan Thompson. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen him plow through Derek Favors of the Utah Jazz. Like, some big, bulky guys. And this kid is, 19, 20 years old. So I didn't think early on he would be doing this from year one and year two. Usually, it takes guys, to develop their grown man body, their stature, 25, 26. And then you can see it then. But he's coming in already and just plowing through grown men. So I did not see that coming. So if you add in the fact that nobody can stay in front of him, nobody can, withstand giving him ground, it just leads and equates to him being dominant. And so that's what I didn't see of him coming in and being able to do from day one in the NBA.
We got about 3 minutes left. One of the things not talked about was the Lakers got a break last year because of the pandemic. Anthony Davis, brittle player, got 4 months off. So he was the most rested he'd ever been. He was great in the playoffs. Well, now he's hurt again. And my takeaway is, I wonder if the Lakers are saying, if we can just stay a top 4 or 5 seed, why bring Anthony Davis back? He's clearly a guy that struggles with 82 games. Last year, he was a force because he was so rested. Is there a chance the Lakers just keep him out as long as they possibly can?
Well, I think that you may have a point to that. I think there was a blueprint being last season of seeing how that worked out, the long layoff and Anthony Davis coming back. Yeah, definitely. They probably could look back at last season and say, hey, we can afford to leave him out longer and, make sure he gets as healthy as possible based off of what we saw. But I still would say, even last year, Colin, that the Lakers were favorite, to win the championship going into the season. And I still, as of right now, it's still hard for me to not take them off of that pecking order right now. I still, even with AD being out, even with the Lakers dropping, a few games as of late, I still will say Lakers probably the favorites, not by much. But no, I look at it like this, man. There was a short offseason. LeBron James wanted to make sure he wasn't going to hurt himself as well as AD. I think they're kind of going through the motions right now. And I think it's easier to kind of go through the motions until they get to the playoff time because they have that history going back to how they handled things last season. So I think you hit that on as well.
Chris Haynes, Fox Sports, covering the NBA since 2010. He's got a new podcast posted up with Chris Haynes. You can see it behind him. Love seeing you, man. Appreciate you stopping by the show.
Hey, thanks, Colin. You take care, brother.
Yeah. No, it's – listen, I mean, sometimes you have to just be honest about your personnel. Like, Ben Simmons will never shoot in Philly. You just got to come to terms with that. You got to be honest about Luka will probably never be a great defensive player in Dallas. So you better get a backcourt. You better find a two guard or somebody in that backcourt that can defend. I don't think Luka's ever going to be a great defender. And by the way, Anthony Davis, never going to give you 82 games. You just got to get – and by the way, if you go to the playoffs, I need 100. It ain't going to happen. So you just got to – you just say, hey, listen, bottom line is in L.A., it's a title town. The Lakers don't care about regular season. Don't worry about the top three seeds. Just rest him. And I thought about it. It's like, just bring him back with about 10 games left. Get him in shape. Playoff start. Let's roll. You don't you can't win in Utah and Denver?
And this is a unique season for the Lakers because they were in the bubble with the Heat the longest with one of the most inconsistent physical players in Anthony Davis. So you got to balance it right. And you don't have really, we are assuming for the rest of the season, home court advantage.
Yeah. Joy likes the bruise and a banana. Do you eat the bruise in an apple?
No, but I will eat a bruised apple.
Oh, my God. Not once in my life. Not even, I feel bad. I won't even acknowledge its existence. I'll throw it right in the can. I'm not joking. I won't even, it's like, oh, sorry, but I don't like you. I've thrown apples. I've literally looked at them and just not even sampled them. Hour three, I'm an apple. I'm a bruise snob. I heard.